Good evening, everybody. As we finished the first parak of Makos last night, I thought tonight would be the right time for us to take a moment before beginning chapter 2 tomorrow to review the basic concepts associated with the first parak of Masechta Makos. Masechta Makos begins with a discussion of what we call Edim Zomamin. And let's be very clear that when we talk about Edim Zomamin, we're not assessing the truth value of the substance of their testimony. Individuals may be saying that Reuven stole from Shimon, that Reuven killed Shimon, that Reuven ate something that he wasn't supposed to eat, whatever it is. But the difference between false witnesses and Edim Zomamin is that Edim Zomamin are found guilty of the charge Imanu Hayisem, that other witnesses, what we call the Mazimin, come along and explain that in fact, when you claim to have witnessed Reuven doing these things, now he may have done them, but you couldn't possibly have witnessed it because you were with us at that time in a particular location. And that's the difference between false witnesses and Edim Zomamin. And as the Gemara explains, Edim Zomamin is really quite a chiddush. My chazis the smoch ahani, smoch ahani. What right do we have really to rely on the mazimin, those who claim that the Edim Zomamin were with them in a particular time and place? Why don't we rely on what the Edim Zomamin are saying? So the entire institution is really quite surprising, but if individuals are found to be Edim Zomamin, then they suffer the penalty, ka'asher zamam lasos lachiv, that which they sought to do to the individual they testified against. For example, if they were saying Reuven that was guilty of a capital crime, they too would sustain that punishment. If they were saying that Reuven was guilty of a monetary crime, they would be liable for that degree of money. If they say Reuven was liable for lashes, they themselves would indeed be liable for lashes. That is the principle of kasher zamam. It's kasher zamam below kasher asa. If Reuven were put to death, subjected to lashes, already paid the monetary fee, then these Edim Zomamin would not be subject to that penalty. That's also one of the counterintuitive dimensions of Edim Zomamin. Now, depending on how many Edim Zomamin there are, let's say they said Reuven was liable for $1,000 and there happened to be 10 witnesses making that stipulation, then they're each liable for $100. But let's say it were lashes, they would each be subject to the entire corpus of 39 lashes, however many they could sustain. That's what we call Mishalshin B'mamon and Mishalshin B'malkos. There is a little bit of debate between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as to whether Edim Zomamin, who are testifying that Reuven is indeed subject to lashes, whether they should subject to one set of lashes or perhaps two. Rabbi Meir says it should be two, because after all, they're Edim Zomamin, so you have Kasher Zamam Lasos Lachim, but you also have an additional factor of their violation of Lo Sanevere Achayit Shaker. We rule in accordance with the normative view that they're only subject to one set of lashes. The first Mishnah in the Masechta actually deals with a situation where you're unable to apply Kasher Zamam Lasos Lachim. For example, they testify that somebody had been an accidental murderer, what we call a Rotzeach Bishkaga, and has to go to a city of refuge. In such a case, because the pasuk says "Hu yanus elachas ha'arim ha'el v'chai," that only the accidental murderer should go, the Gemara learns that only the accidental murderer and not Edim Zomamin who would be testifying against him. Likewise, if they testify that a Kohen is not a proper lineage, Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, even if Edim Zomamin happened to be Kohanim, we wouldn't subject them to that penalty because that would impact their descendants. Kasher Zamam Lasos La'achiv. That should not impact generations going forward. So those are some of the important concepts that we encounter at the very beginning of the Masechta. And again, the critical concept to be aware of is the distinction between Edim Zomamin and Edei Hakasha. Because again, Edim Zomamin is a situation where the Mazimin explain that what you're saying may or may not be true, but you were with us when you claim to have witnessed it. Edei Hakasha is a completely different scenario. One in which witnesses are actually debating the substance of the testimony. They're saying it wasn't Reuven that killed Shimon, it was Levi that killed Shimon, or Shimon is, you know, alive altogether, and then you just have two against two. So that's a very different kind of a situation. We equally noted, just if the verdict had been carried out, that Edim Zomamin are not liable for the penalty, so when do they become liable? We say Mishas Gemar Din, only from the point where Reuven was actually sentenced, but the, let's say, capital penalty or lashes or monetary penalty had not yet been carried out. So it's a very narrow window of time indeed. Moving forward a little bit to the middle on the second half of the perek, we discuss the pasuk, Al Pishnayim Edim Oshlosho Edim Yumas Hames. And this really captured the attention of Chazal. We know that two witnesses are enough to sustain any case in halacha, the principle of Trei Kameya, so why would we specify the presence of a third witness? So this led us to some very important conclusions. So we said that even if you had 100 witnesses saying that Reuven killed Shimon, even if you had two witnesses that were testifying against these 100 and saying these 100 witnesses were not where they claimed to be, that would be legitimate because there's a basic equation between 2 and 3 in every single direction. But it equally led to another statement, the statement of Rabbi Shimon, that Ein ha'edim nasim zomin ad she'yazomu es kulam. That if you have a full group of 100 witnesses, they come together, they speak toch chidei dibor, then indeed you cannot establish any one of them as Edim Zomin until you establish all of them as Edim Zomin. And Rabbi Kiva learned from that pasuk, as we explained, that even though you might say that only the first two witnesses should be subject to a penalty of Edim Zomin, because they're the only ones who are really necessary to establish that particular halacha, al pishnayim Edim o shlosha Edim, even though the third witness wasn't necessary, once he got himself involved, he becomes responsible, so... that's true of witnesses number 3, 4, and 5. And we had a very nice comment. If this is what you do to somebody who's nitpal over Avera, how much more so somebody will be rewarded for being a secondary or even a tertiary figure in the context of a mitzvah. And that was something that we wanted to emphasize as well. Because the pasuk says, Al pi shnayim edim o shalosha edim, the phrase al pi, based on what they say, had various implications as well. So, for example, Rabbi Yossi said that al pi shnayim edim, not only do the witnesses have to testify, but the witnesses are responsible for issuing the warning, the hasaras as well. It's a basic rule that you cannot give corporal punishment, malkos, or capital punishment, dine nefashos, unless a warning has been issued to ensure that the person is doing this not b'shogeg, accidentally, but b'mezid. So Rabbi Yossi's view is that the witnesses themselves have to be the ones to issue this warning. We don't necessarily rule like that view, and we just require somebody to issue the hasra. That's not necessarily the edim. Al pi shnayim edim, o shlosha edim. We said it has to be directly from their testimony and not based on the words of a translator, because a translator always introduces some measure of interpretation. Al pi'em v'lo al yedei meturgaman, another very important halacha that we derived from that word, al pi shnayim edim, o shlosha edim, yuma. So, ena edim nasim zominad shia zombo es kulam is also derived from that principle. And just moving on to the last number of halachos that came up in the context of this first parak. We said, what establishes somebody as a kat? They either come together and they speak one after the other. Then we dealt with the case in the Mishnah where they were able either to visualize each other, even though we were witnessing events from two different windows, or they could at least visualize somebody that was issuing a warning in the middle. So sight lines can also create a chibor, a connection between individuals who aren't necessarily positioned together. We equally discussed the notion that just as testimony that's partially invalidated is completely invalidated, Eidu Shabbat L'miksasa Bat L'kula, so too, if you have one group of witnesses, and Nimsa Echad Me'am Karov Opasal, one of them is invalidated on the basis of being of relation to the individual who's being testified about, or connected to another person in the party, or they have some other invalidating factor, like they're considered a Rasha, they're violating Torah principles, so that would take down the entire group. But again, if you take down the entire group, they have to be defined as a group on the basis of how we explained that matter altogether. We noted that for dine nefashos, for capital cases to be adjudicated altogether, the Beis HaMikdash has to be standing and the High Court of 71 has to be positioned in the Beis HaMikdash. And then anybody who's conferred smicha upon, anybody who's a musmach, can then adjudicate capital cases in the context of a court of 23, whether they are in the land of Israel or outside the land of Israel. Somebody who's been sentenced to death in a court is not entitled to a new trial if he somehow escapes justice and is brought back to that court, though I didn't mention this last night. The Gemara, in commenting on the Mishnah, says that's true, but there's an exception if a person runs away to the land of Israel, because the land of Israel is considered to have a higher level functioning of courts, they would be entitled to a new trial. That's part of the special category of the land of Israel. It's an idea that needs to be developed much further. And then I guess the last topic that we had in the Perek was this fundamental debate about capital punishment, where the Tanakhama was of the view that if a court implemented one death penalty in 7 years, that would be considered a lot. Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah said one in 70 years. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon said, had they lived 100 years beforehand, where capital cases were still being adjudicated, that nobody would have ever been put to death altogether. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, this is anarchy. You're going to let all the murderers go free. How is that going to be beneficial for society? So the same debates that we have today surrounding capital punishment are very much the debates that were had then as well, back in the times of the Mishnah, regarding the efficacy of capital punishment and indeed the desirability of capital punishment altogether. That's a broad overview of the major topics that we saw across the first parak of Masechta Makos. We're going to move now into the second chapter, which deals with the topic of Rotzeach Bishgaga, the accidental murderer. We said in case of accidental murderer, there is no principle of Edim Zomim being sent into the cities of refuge. They would indeed sustain lashes. It wouldn't be the case of Kasher Zamam Lasos Achiv. So we'll now get into cases of accidental murder, what defines something as accidental murder, what defines something as what we call ones, something that a person had no control over, what's considered pshia, utter negligence, what's considered volitional or intentional, b'mezid, the various laws that pertain to the construction of the cities of refuge. That is what we have to look forward to starting tomorrow night as we begin to discuss the perek Elu Hein Hagolin. We're going to have, again, Kaddish Rabban in just a moment, as was the case last night. I want to thank everybody for being mindful of the pace, and let's continue to be mindful of the pace as we go forward. Rabbi Chanan, Amin HaKashem, Ritz Kaddish Baruch, Lezakos Yisrael, Lefika Achir, Velam Tor Mitzvah, Shenemar, Adonai Chafetz, Siman Tzidko, Yagdil Torah, V'Yadir, Kaddish Rabbanan.